friends. Thanks for popping into chat today. This is E.
And this is Amy.
And you're listening to Curse Words and Crayons presents True Crime. The darkness is behind us. Literally. Yes. Literally and figuratively, maybe, hopefully. The sun is out and about more. So, yes! I mean, if you're having a rough start to the year, that's okay. Me too, right? I think all of us a little bit. But have you tried sunlight? Have you physically gone outside and let the wind, you know, fly your little hairs around and get some vitamin D, take a little hot parent walk around the hood? And also, if that is not possible where you're living or with your schedule, maybe you are a nighttime worker, if you will, maybe you take the night shift. Remember those Amazon lights that Amy came with us a couple of episodes ago, the light therapy stuff?
Yes.
Get you one of those. Oh, and speaking of the Amazon shop, Amy, do you have a show and tell for us this week?
Of course I do. Absolutely. So can somebody please tell me how I'm out here about to become eligible for my AARP card and I'm still getting pimples?
Oh my gosh.
How is that a thing?
I was talking to Roberto about that and I'm like, at 35 years old, you think that I would stop with the acne, but it's never, mine's hormones and I'm breastfeeding still or quitting breastfeeding.
Right.
So it's a whole nother ride my body's going on. But still, you're the same way, yeah?
Yeah. Well, and people usually get mad. It's not my fault. It's my genetics. I never had breakouts as a kid. Like, I teen with breakouts. That wasn't me. It wasn't my thing. Now, I've got breakouts, I've got wrinkles, all of this is happening, and it's really unfair. It's unfair to everybody, but thank God for the 10-year-olds at Sephora who are just introducing us to all of these amazing products.
Even though they look 35, my age.
Right.
Poor children. Your kids don't need retinol on their face. If you're listening your little kid is looking at the drunk elephant stuff, go for it. So great. I know all this because I just went to Sephora with the 10-year-old suggestions and I did my own. Yeah, I did my own like whatever and I got my own like skincare routine. I'm excited about that. As I was looking, a lot of the products that these kids are buying, they're not good for their face, and I think that that's detrimental. So just heads up on that.
I think what's happening with a lot of these products now is, like, it's the reverse of what happened to us, right? Like, we were using the astringent and, like, dry the shit out of your skin, burn it all off, it's gone, and now we're, like, having to pay for that. They're in the reverse, I think. They're using too much stuff on their skin that's not naturally, like, letting their skin do what a 10-year-old's or a 15-year-old's
skin does. Yeah, and it's anti-aging. You're 10. You don't need an anti-ager. Right, like, throw some sunscreen on, and that's good enough for you, baby girl. So.
Right. Love it. But these breakouts, they're having a thing, and I need something that's going to handle my ish and quick. Like, I don't have time. I love a good skincare routine. I'm going to be honest. I don't do it as often as I should, and it's not part of my habit stacking yet, so it's just not a thing. Like, I try to. I have all the products. I have all the things, but sometimes I forget. Have you heard of Mighty Patch?
Yes. I see a lot of things. I'm a picker. There are products out there for once I get a pimple, but if I see it, I have popped it.
These are a miracle. Okay, I'm also a picker. Like, I want to, like, squeeze all the things. I want to do all of the stuff. They're these little round patches. They actually have other – I've explored the whole gamut of them, so there's a lot of other things. But
they even have stars too, no?
They do. Not the Mighty Patch, but the – I mean, the same thing, but, like, not this brand. But they have, like, stars and shapes and, you know, little tattoos and whatever. Like, they're cute, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, that's nice, and they're good for those. But you stick them on, it's, like, 6 to 8 hours, and it's, like, magic. So the patch will change. These particular ones, the patch will change color, and it has to do with the colloidal oil, like acid or whatever that's in it. It literally just like pulls out the junk. Now it's not going to be like smooth, perfect when you get it done, but like the redness is gone. It's better. You can put them on overnight. So I wonder though, even I've never put it on one
once
that I've
I
like
feel hit, it coming on, then like this
it right
one.
On.
Yeah. Yeah, because this one won't pop, but if I put it on now,
will okay. it draw out that stuff? So I would okay. try it. It's like the okay. best, like busy slash lazy slash overwhelmed person's tool.
And you can put makeup on top of it with the Mighty Patches, I have seen, because you yeah. are putting, you know, so you've got that protection on your skin. So you could still full face of makeup if you're going out, like extreme full coverage. I have yeah. seen.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's a great idea.
So if you have like a big, nasty, like just heinous as fuck, it could be part of your like concealer process. Or
yes.
don't conceal it, but for me, I just, the whole night, if I go to the bathroom,
yeah.
I'm gonna like see it, and that's gonna, it, not only do I feel it because it hurts, but then I see it, and then I've gotta touch it, you know, kind of situation, or I feel like everybody's staring, they're talking
yes.
to my zit instead of me.
Yes. I never thought about that. That is an incredible tip. But also, you know, when you have those things that you don't want to put makeup over because you're like, oh, it's going to make it worse.
Yes, exactly.
Like a Band-Aid. So
exactly.
it's not just like hide it because it doesn't look good, but hide it because
it's better for your skin to heal.
In the run. Right. Love that. So I'm looking into these, right? Because I'm like, oh, these are amazing. Now I have to know all the things. And the ADHD in me is like, I need everything that this company makes. They have larger patches for larger areas. They have ones that go like over top of your nose, like a Biore strip. Like if you wanted to really like do the whole thing, they've got the whole thing. But they have under eye ones that are good for like taking the like the dark under your eye stuff. I haven't used them yet. So jury's still out. They're a little spendy, but I have really bad bags under my eyes, and if this is going to fix it, I would buy them every day. I would be totally fine with that. So
get yourself some. Let me know how
they go. I absolutely will let everybody know how it goes. Get yourself some. I've linked them in our Amazon store as always, but you can get them, I mean, pretty much anywhere. I actually bought my first round at Target, and they have the whole thing. So
ooh, before we get started too, like I'm going to add on to your show and tell you about the skincare that I got from Sephora as well, because I think together
okay.
that they would be great. And it's just like a small drop, but it's Youth to the People. And I got their whole sample size, their sample box or whatever for $50. And it has. And I got an ordinary, you know, the ordinary whatever. I got a, like, special, like, acne aging thing for that. Spent $50 for the whole set, and it's a 5-system set, and it's really easy to use. So I will link that as well, and I've been seeing a lot of help with my acne, and you can get it at Sephora or on Amazon. They actually don't. I tried to look to buy it from their site directly, and they don't do that.
That's
Isn't that peculiar? But either way, also, you know, it would match the Mighty Patches. It won't, but okay. Is a sticker. It's the same thing, basically. A sticker from our merch shop. You could just put stickers, curse words,
and
crayon
stickers.
Over top
of your zit.
Or just
then,
on your face, and maybe that would pull out the acne, too. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
You know, I've never tried it. So if you want to test that out, please let us know and order yourself a sticker. And guess what? We mail those directly. So you will get to touch something that we touched, which who doesn't want to do that?
Yes, Amy will have breathed on it. She will have gone,
my kids will probably have put their germy hands all over it. I mean, what more could you ask?
Could you want? Yeah.
I'm
that
not selling
great.
This very well. I promise you my kids won't touch it.
www.curseworldsandcrayons.com.
Go there and tell us what you think. It's amazing. We have all the stuff, all the everything. I can't wait to hear what everybody thinks. People have already started ordering, and we do a little happy dance every time, because not only do we love the support, but also we love that these things are cute, and we want you to have cute things too.
It seems like everybody's ordered the logo stuff so far, mostly, and
I love it though. I think
the logo's so cute, so I'm not upset about it. I also am ordering the logo stuff, so that makes
everything
sense. I got to get a hat for certainly.
Oh, yeah. We got ball caps, y'all. Who doesn't need to hide their hair? Because I do.
Okay. So the case, let's get down into it.
It's a doozy.
Oh, yeah. It is. It is. You said Z, and so I got confused. I was like, I didn't do anything or say anything vastly inappropriate yet.
Z, we're not even there yet. Come on. No.
No, but I thought we were. Okay. So we're chatting about Mark Winger today. And this is some new to me. I mean, most of our cases are actually like 95% of the cases that we do are things that I have not heard about before until somebody either suggested them to us. So I started looking it up. A TikTok comes up, whatever. These are not, we try to make sure that we don't cover. Okay. I know we covered JonBenet with our friend Sam,
but
that's different. And that was a good fucking theory. If you haven't listened to the true crime conspiracies, it's only been up for like a couple of weeks at this point and is one of our top listen to episodes. Like it's becoming very popular right now. No, it's also super fun. You have to go and listen to it. But anyways, we try not to cover those like really big pieces because everybody else does.
Right.
And I feel like that's part of the fun of doing this together. Everything that comes out of our mouth is not only a surprise to us, but is also a surprise to you, right? In it together. Okay. So Mark was born on November 26th. 1962, and he was born around Cleveland to Sadie and Gerald Winger. He was raised Jewish, and he had an older brother and sister, so he was the baby of the family. After graduating high school in 1981, he enrolled in the Virginia Military Institute. He got his bachelor's degree in physics in 85. He was even commissioned as a second lieutenant in the United States Army. So following his 2 years of service in the Army, 1 year was spent in South Korea and 1 year was stateside in Georgia. He was hired by a laboratory instrument manufacturing firm in Florida. So he's on the beach, Riviera Beach, actually. And in late 1986 or early 88, he was set up on a blind date with an operating room technician. Her name was Donna Ellen Brown, a co-worker of Mark's brother. He proposed after they'd been dating for about 6 months, and she said yes. They were married on March 4th, 1989, and after a short time in Florida, they moved on to Illinois. Mark and Donna adopted a baby girl, on June 1st of 1995, and this all just sounds like super wholesome, like your typical all-around American family. So quaint, that part of it, super quaint, beautiful, but just you wait.
Don't get too in love because it's about to go down.
It's about to go down.
August 23rd, 1995. Donna is headed home from a trip from the St. Louis International Airport. She's headed to Springfield, and she's driven by a man named Roger Harrington. Now, Roger Harrington is like a shuttle driver. This is pre-Uber. So this is just like normal. I mean, and I say normal, but like, I don't know. Are shuttle drivers normal? I can't really make that assumption.
I have never met a normal shuttle driver. Have you? At the airport or just in general? They always seem slightly unhinged. Too caffeinated? I mean,
maybe too caffeinated. I have never really a normal transportation driver, even like my kid's bus driver. Not that they're like unsafe. They're just a little odd. Like you just.
Aurora's bus driver is also a little peculiar. I love him. Strange. He's great. Yeah.
Right. But just a little out there.
Just a little, okay. All right.
That's in my brain. I'm thinking like when there used to be taxis. You know, like, it's safe. It was, like, a safe form of transportation. You didn't kind of think it's weird. Like, Uber gets a little creepy. There's, like, weird stuff that happens, whatever. But anyways, Donna is being driven home by this guy, Roger. He's a shuttle driver for the airport or, like, some sort of taxi company. He is talking to Donna during her ride and giving her what she explained as a hard time, talking about getting high and having orgies. Gross. I don't want to. if you're like into that, like if you're having that conversation and that person's like, yes, please tell me more. Cool. Have a good time. Talk about it. Do what you want to do.
But also maybe just in general, if a female is traveling, if a person, but especially if a female or smaller boned human is traveling by themselves and like, is she alone in the shuttle?
She's by herself. Yeah.
If some man is talking to me about sex stuff while he's driving me around and he's a stranger, I would rather die.
And you're like, probably not giving him the like, yeah, tell me more information about
why
your orgy.
The fuck are we not talking about the weather?
Right.
Is it raining? Are there clouds in the sky?
How about them Yankees? Let's talk about that. And I don't even want to talk about sports.
Wow,
but
look,
I would rather.
My shoes are untied. Just tying shoes is difficult, right? My kid, they just learned how to tie their shoes. Why are we talking about TV shows lately?
Right,
many other things. Let's not. That sucks for her.
It does. So she's uncomfortable. She does not like it. If you are into talking about those things with your shuttle driver, do you?
That's
your
so
life.
Great. Yeah.
Donna was not having it. She was like, I'm not interested. So they complain to the shuttle driver, to like the company. They're like, listen, this was not okay. Which honestly, same. So you would think like, okay, this is unfortunate. This happened. We're complaining. Okay, great. Customer service. Awesome. This is not where this ends. 6 days later. So now we're a week out from our incident. Mark, the husband, so Mark Winger, we're bringing it back to Mark. He calls 911. He tells the 911 operator that he has shot Roger Harrington, you know, the shuttle driver. Why is he at your house? And he also tells 911 that Roger killed Donna with a hammer in their home. This is quite the turn of events. I cannot tell you any time that I've had a shuttle driver that I've liked or disliked, and then 6 days later.
Also, it's so terrifying to think. I don't know why it didn't occur to me that the shuttle driver would be taking her all the way home.
Yeah.
Well, so he knows where she lives.
Right. So I guess.
I was thinking the shuttle driver was taking her to her car at the airport because that's what I do.
And maybe he did. I don't know.
No, because why would he know where their home was? No, he took her all the way to her house.
All shall be revealed. We will talk about that.
But either way, he was at the house.
Either way, he could have been at their home, and it's scary. People are unhinged, and so I can definitely see the want to complain, but then also the want to be like, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to let it go because you do know where I live or you do have personal information about me. And that makes me uncomfortable.
That's why somehow the decisions they do sometimes to keep quiet. And I get it. You can't judge that person until you feel the same, like until you're in that same level of uncomfortableness.
Sure. Well, and everybody's level of comfort is different in those situations. Mm-hmm. Like I hear people say all the time when they're talking about teachers or people that deal with their kids because they're concerned about retaliation because guess what? People be crazy and you just don't know what's going to happen. What we know is Roger, the shuttle driver, is dead. Donna is dead. According to Mark, Roger came over, killed Donna with a hammer, and then he killed Roger. So the police initially believe that Roger broke into the Winger's home and murdered Donna in a retaliation for the complaint that they gave to Harrington's employer. So Roger, they told Roger's employer, hey, this dude's whack. However, investigators later become suspicious of Mark because he weirdly kept asking the police about the case, even though the case was closed. The police were like, listen, this is like a retaliation thing. It's over.
Yeah, open and shut.
But no. Mark keeps asking all these questions. It's a done deal, friends. Zip your lips. Get out of here. Marky Poo, he remarries after Donna dies. 5 months after. So this is fast and quick. And he marries the daughter. So they have their adopted daughter. She has a new nanny. The nanny's name is Rebecca. Mm. Now he's remarried. It's been 5 months. After your wife was brutally murdered in your home and you killed supposedly her attacker, You're just going to, like, move on to live and love again with a nanny?
With the nanny.
But the nanny was new. So the nanny had not been around when Donna was around. But still, suspicious. The police are suspicious.
Not until Donna was dead, because that's the only way he could get her on the payroll. Because, like, I really trust my husband. And also, I'm not going to, if I have a look, and this is, like, whatever, but I'm not going to have somebody that I just think is, like, the biggest temptation in the world. Just like I'm not going to put a huge thing of cookies in front of my daughter. Like, it's just, I don't want to feel uncomfortable.
For sure.
I don't want to have to think of the possibilities. That would never happen.
No. Yeah. Right. But you don't want to set people up for failure. Like, you don't, especially if you can't.
A cheater's going to cheat.
Right.
However, I don't need to facilitate anything.
100%. So the police are suspicious. Everybody's suspicious. Mark and Rebecca, they stay together for a while. They end up having 3 children together. So now we're cutting to 4 years after Donna's death. So Mark has remarried this Rebecca lady. They have
3 kids.
Now 4 kids with him and Donna's daughter previously. Donna's best friend, Deanne Schultz, comes forward and tells the police that she and Mark had been involved in an affair. At the time of Donna's death. Mark had ended the affair soon after Donna's death, and Deanne, the friend, suspected that he was the one that killed Donna. Listen, this is the kind of best friend energy we need in the world, right?
Minus the cheating with your husband portion.
Right.
Like, if you suspect something, say something, but, like, maybe keep your genitals to yourself. Like, or share them with people that aren't your best friend's
husband,
partner.
Right, partner, whoever, let's not do that. This is not okay. But where I do see some redeeming qualities in old Deanne is she did come forward and was like, this wasn't okay. Like, I'm doing some not okay things, but I think there's something else going on. The police re-examine everything. And they conclude that the positions of Donna and Roger's bodies were inconsistent with the account that Mark said. So, all right, why we didn't really see that before, I guess it seems super open and closed, and so they're just like, okay, fine.
We see that happen so often where they just don't really look at things. And honestly and truly, if somebody tells you this is what happened, and that's why would you look for more? Sometimes when someone says it's a zebra, it is a zebra.
Exactly. And also, and I'm not saying this, I don't know, I'm saying it as like I'm saying it, is sometimes they don't want to do the extra work. It looks like
100%.
It looks like a duck and it walks like a duck. So we're just going to say that it's a duck and we're going to move forward when in fact
because
it's
I've
a
got
zebra.
100, yeah, because I've got 155 other cases on my desk right now that
right.
Like actually don't. Look open and shut.
Match up. Right. So we're going to do this. So they open the case again. Now, this is 4 years after the murders had happened. They also found evidence in Roger's car that Mark had actually invited Roger to the Winger home, which, huh?
What? Did he find, like, MapQuest a printout?
What was those, like a TomTom, like, in his, like, GPS tracking or whatever?
Yes.
So the theory was that Donna's upsetting ride with Roger inspired Mark to come up with this plan and use that story to kill her, shoot Roger, and then say, hey, he attacked her because of what happened. Which makes me even wonder, and I don't think Donna was in on it because obviously she got murdered, but like did that – who made the – complaint call and did Mark make it seem like way worse than it was if he was the one who made the complaint call to make it seem like he's going to be really, you know, like this is going to make this guy really mad and then I can use it as
yeah,
like
she lied on me to my boss and da 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 da.
Yeah. So
I'm really going to come after her. So then it really gave him a better motive. You know what else this means? It means that Mark attacked his wife with a fucking hammer.
Which is so no.
That's gross, dude. That's blood and just guts and gore. Just sell the house immediately. You can't live there anymore.
I think they
there's
did
blood
too.
On the. That's fucking yeah. gross. There's blood on the ceiling. Like your ex-wife's blood is like in every all the spaces. There's splatter everywhere. It's right. with a fucking hammer.
And I'm not a biblical woman, but like technically, you didn't divorce her, so she's really not your ex-wife because she died.
No, she's only your ex-wife after she is deceased. So at right. that point, she was your current and only wife.
That you the love killed of with a hammer that and then made up a
child.
Story.
Well, no, they did not the child. But still, it doesn't matter. The mother of your child.
Together. Yeah.
Disgusting. Gross. Okay, so evidence introduced at the trial included recorded conversations between Mark and Roger arranging a meeting on the day of the murders. The testimony from the paramedics also proved to be very problematic for Mark. They confessed to finding Donna face down, and Mark had told everybody that he held his wife before they arrived. So, like, he was grieving her, like, in his arms, like, oh, I'm the best husband ever. I picked her up and I held her close to me. Like, you would.
Right.
I would assume.
If you didn't kill your spouse.
Or you would touch them, I would assume, because your brain just doesn't, we can't say what we would do in this situation. Sure. I just know that your brain, and then you got to check to see if they're breathing or not breathing kind of situation, unless you killed them, right? So her body was face down, which they said just would not line up with the stories.
Right,
and
what are you going to do? Hold her close to your body and then like.
And then
like,
and then deface
her? Right. Like, come on.
A man would. Okay. Would. Yes. So Deanne, the best friend, also testified that Mark had tried to involve her in his plot and told her it would be better if Donna died. What the fuck? Why didn't she tell Donna?
And Deanne, you waited 4 years to say that? Sister, it's time.
Yeah, like, I love that you came forward, finally, but also...
You waited a long time.
Yeah, 4 years. So, in May of 2002, a jury convicted Mark of the first-degree murder of Donna and Roger, and he was sentenced to life in prison without parole.
Good.
In 2006, Mark was indicted for asking a fellow prison inmate to arrange two murders.
Mark, my friend.
This is not okay. A book. Okay,
yeah.
So one of his intended murder victims was Deanne Schultz, which, like, I would have been okay to see her go.
And it's not a shock.
Look, don't cheat. Like, don't help your best friend's husband cheat. Not
with
tell
you.
Her.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. With you. Not tell her. And then also just seemingly forget to be, if any of my friend's husbands were to start joking, I know I joke about murdering Roberto all the time, and I think it's funny. If any of my friend's husbands were to start joking about murdering their wife, I would immediately call 911. Just kidding. But, like, I would be like, yeah, really, depending upon the circumstance, I mean, maybe I would laugh if, you know. But most, I think, yeah, he said it real seriously to Deanne.
I think there's a difference between you and I being like, okay, I'm going to put some poison in his coffee later. Ha, 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 ha. We're joking and this is funny. And being like, listen, it would be better if he was just dead. Like, that's
straight faced. Like,
right. Like, can you help me? It would just, this would work out better for everybody if we put her out of her misery.
Not if I left her.
Right.
If
go
I,
away
I,
somewhere else. Get out.
Yeah, you don't have to be with somebody if you don't want to. I know it seems really hard to leave that person, but, like, it's better than fucking murdering them. Like,
I say this to Chris all the time, and we are not getting a divorce. Nobody's cheating on anybody. But
no.
I have had so many situations where I know people that were cheated on by their spouse, and then you just look like an idiot. Just tell me. If you're going to cheat on me, just tell me. We won't be together anymore, and that's the way it is. And he would never. But if you're even thinking about it, let's talk about it, because I would rather not look like a fool and be able to just be like, okay, well, that's that, we're done, than for years and years you're creeping.
Because not only is it the embarrassment of your marriage failing, but it's the public embarrassment of everybody knowing that they didn't even respect you enough to,
right,
like, keep your vows.
And your bestie? Get out of here.
Yeah, fuck you guys. So Yeah, one of his intended murder victims was the bestie, Deanne Schultz, which, like, yeah, get her. And then the second intended victim was Jeffrey Gilman. He was a childhood friend, and Mark just really resented him for refusing to post his $1 million bail. Okay, okay, okay.
How rude of you, Jeffrey.
Yeah. It would have only been, like, what, 100 grand or something?
Don't matter, friend.
So much money, 100 grand. I'm just LOLing. Yeah, 100 grand, right. A lot of money. So in June of 2007, Mark was convicted for solicitation of murder, and he received a 35-year sentence, and that is added to his existing life without parole sentence. So just like a real stand-up dude who sounds so lovely.
He gives me all the hope in the world for humanity and our future. He's the best. He's not the best. He's horrible.
He procreated.
Ugh. How did I not know about this guy? Where did we find this case? Was it a suggestion?
I don't know. Whoever, did you come up with Krista Pike?
I don't think so. Because I had never heard of her either. She was last week's episode, right? 2 weeks ago. Something like that.
Some time.
We covered her too.
We have covered her, and I don't know how she got on our list. I don't know how he got on our list. Sometimes I document things, and then sometimes I don't. I am doing good if I can remember to put all of the suggestions onto the documents, instead of having to go individually through all of the social medias and see who has suggested what. And I do both, okay? If you suggest it, we're going to do our best to cover it, and maybe I'll even remember that you – suggested it. You're welcome. Thank you so much. I'm sorry. I'm doing my best.
I'm really trying. This feels like a case that is number one. It's totally our vibe. It's right up our alley. It's a gotcha moment and we love it. It was a really interesting case and I had never heard of it. And I feel like we look at a lot of crime, and I did not know about old Mark here.
We've been doing this for like 150 episodes at this point too, so it kind of makes sense that maybe we haven't heard any of these cases
or we just don't remember because we were thinking of a different crime at that case.
And I don't watch the news. Like, I keep up with true crime, but I'm not like a news person because I don't need any other reason. Like, I know I do a true crime podcast, but I don't need any other reason to be frightened to leave my home because I already am having a hard time leaving in general.
So yeah, thanks Mark for making it worse, sir. I'm a super visual person, so of course I had to look up what the vibe was with Mark. And
is he cute?
No, but we cover our fair share of killers, right?
Uh-huh. There's
definitely a creep factor. Like, you look at pictures of people, who is that? The guy family murders?
He looks like a fucking thumb. Joel Guyon Jr.?
Yes, just like terrifying looking. And you look at some of these killers, male, female, non-binary, whatever, they're terrifying. This guy looks like a straight-up podiatrist. Like, he just looks like this normal, unassuming dude. There's nothing about any of the pictures I looked at that I was like, oh, yeah, he's creepy-looking, or I would definitely say he's a serial killer. So he just looks like somebody you'd see out there saying things like, gosh darn it. Like, he just does – he looks like a weird, like, nerdy guy. But it just goes to show you, you never know.
You never know. Be careful.
You never know.
Be careful of that nerdy ass man that you plan to marry, because maybe he'll fucking kill you too. Just heads up. Heads up, friends. You know, be safe. Be safe out there. I actually, like, was in a confrontation with a man in public here recently, and he asked me to walk away with him, but it was like dark outside and I immediately didn't feel comfortable, and he called me Karen and da 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 da. But this, like, all I could think about afterwards was like, I could have fucking died.
Yeah.
Like, that's how people die.
It's just, it's not safe. The world is a scary and unsafe place. So please stay alert. Please, if somebody is giving you an uh-oh feeling,
get on out. Get
trust
uh-oh on out of there.
And Deanne Schultz, you should have.
She's not my friend.
Uh-oh radar should have gone off.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. No,
or my husband. She can't sit with me, my husband. Absolutely any of my
can't
friends,
sit
husband.
With my husband.
Keep your fucking hands to yourself, you goddamn homewrecking whore.
I just think, like,
it's very subtle.
I was really rooting for Deanne at the beginning of this case because I'm like, man, she's the bestie and she's like solving all the problems. And then she's the one, she is the problem. So, I mean, okay.
A cheater was going to cheat in general.
She's a cheater. Mark murdered.
And a murderer.
Let's just not do that. At least she said,
that's
I draw the line.
Fault. Yeah.
My best friend. That's not her fault. That is not her fault. Mark made those decisions. But Sailor, do not be the friend who sleeps with your friend's husbands.
Don't do it.
The friend who speaks up when things are fishy, say, mm-mm, I don't like this. Until next time, check out our new website, you guys.
Yay!
Go get yourselves a sticker or a t-shirt, a hat. Visit us on all the things. We will be here next time with another case, another chat, another something. Goodbye.
Bye.